God, I do pray that by this teaching we might be encouraged, equipped, empowered to love all and serve all. We believe that your word is powerful. We believe that your word is among us, Jesus, the risen one. And we give thanks in his name. Amen. The first reading is, it's like the cold, maybe like a slap in the face. It's like a water of shocking, sort of coming aware of your situation. It's kind of like, it's spoken to religious folk who think that, you know, they're doing all the right stuff. And the prophet Isaiah says, your hands are full of blood. Is that not a powerful image? Your hands are full of blood, he says. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. That's the first part. Be restored. And we're so thankful that through the blood of Jesus, we can be restored to wholeness, to fellowship. Remove the evil from your doings before my eyes. Get rid of that stuff. Some of us are practicing things because we've grown sleepy. We forget that we're serving the King of Glory. And we concern ourselves with things that are not worthy of our attention, let alone God's attention. And we have slipped into the habits that are not honoring to ourselves, to others, and to God. I just ask that this would be a wake-up call. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Do a turnaround. Remember that God is concerned with global affairs and beyond global. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. That's big picture mission and ministry. And as a church, let us be brought back to awareness that we are part of a redeeming work of God that is cosmic in nature. I remember I was away from home for the first time after high school. The year after high school, I lived in the bush and was driving a pickup truck down the road. I had tried to smoke cigarettes, but I couldn't. I couldn't. Even in high school, I tried, you know, with my buddies, and I couldn't. And they always caught me because I wasn't inhaling. Couldn't do it. I gave that up. I tried chewing tobacco. It upset my stomach. And in this sort of newfound freedom, I thought I'd smoke a pipe. I had a beard. Well, I tried to have a beard, and I thought that a pipe might fill out this sort of image. I don't know, this rough and tumble. I'm driving down the road. I said, this is ridiculous. And I took the pipe out of my mouth and threw it out the window. Have you ever come to those realizations that what you're doing is ridiculous? And if you have the grace to stop it right then, that is the best time to stop. Some of you are doing things that are ridiculous. They're just ridiculous. But you need to come to the reality, I need to come to the reality that they're ridiculous, that they're hurting me, they're doing absolutely no good to me or others, and I need to stop. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I knew I wasn't alone on that one. And when that insight comes, and when the will is there, deal with it. I didn't think about starting a fire, the potential of starting a forest fire. But you know what? I probably would have done the same thing. It was ridiculous, and I chucked it out, and I got rid of whatever else I had. That's why people put us in community, because sometimes it takes a brother or sister to point out the fact that we're pursuing something that's ridiculous, that is hurtful. It's not honoring to God, and it's not furthering the mission and ministry of the church. It's, in fact, a great hindrance. And if that insight comes this morning, let it be one of these. A wake-up call. And that you could change your behavior. Wash your hands. Be restored. Stop doing that thing and draw near once again. If you don't know Jesus, listen to what William said. The risen Jesus is powerful. His word is enduring, and it makes a difference in our lives. The second reading from the letter to the Hebrews speaks of faith, and I'm so glad it does. Because some people, I think, have the idea that faith is sort of this airy-fairy thing, and then really we only exercise faith when we're looking for a parking spot. I mean, it's not a bad time to pray. A course not. But friends, if that's the limit of our faith, come on. We have a little ways to go here. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Other translations say substance. And I think I, for one, need substance, greater substance to my faith, especially in certain areas of my life where I get busy and do it all. I think I can just do it all. That faith would have me stop and rest and wait on the Lord, wait for others. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction or proof of things not seen. What area in your life could you use greater substance to your faith? An area where continually you just give in or you fail to believe or you give up hope. May God bring substance in that area of your life. Substance to your faith. As a teenager, my aunt and uncle, Uncle Bill and Aunt Margaret, they bought a cabin on a lake. They also bought a 15-foot sailboat. I'd never sailed, but I learned. And I flipped that thing many, many times. It had a jib and it had a mainsail, and I could really get that thing humming. And because I spent quite a bit of time up there and on my own, I didn't have people my age except my sister, and she did not want to go out in the sailboat with me. So I learned that I could fill the boat up with water to give it some more weight so that I could go out when it was really windy. And that was okay once you were on a tack, but then the water, it's not a good ballast because it moves around, right? So when I'd start to move, I'd flip again, and then the boat was so heavy. Well, anyway, it was a problem. But I had the right idea, I think. I needed more ballast so that I could go out in bigger water, heavier winds. And that's an image for me, for us in our Christian lives, that we would have more ballast. And you know that ballast is below the waterline. It's unseen in a ship. And ballast in our lives, this faith, is grounded through prayer, through meditation on Scripture, through being with God. In a variety of ways. How are you with God? How do you deepen that devotional life or quiet time or whatever you call it? Your discipline of prayer. I believe that lays ballast in our boats so that we can be more stable in our lives and stay out in the mix even as the winds start to whistle and the seas rise up. That Christians, and we need people who are able to stay out because their faith has substance. By faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. Talk to that about someone who's trying to figure out the origins of the earth and through scientific method. And they get to the Big Bang, and is that the theory they're going to go with, or they're going to go with sort of a spontaneous, whatever. Well, here it says, no, it's not a question of science, it's a question of faith. That the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. And that what was made, it was made from things that are not visible. So we need to reframe the discussion often, because it's a discussion of faith and not science. And faith leads us in understanding. And then we're given this concrete story of Abraham, Father Abraham. By faith, he was called to set out. Abraham worshipped his father's gods in the land of Haran, in the Fertile Crescent, a place where there were many gods. And the one true God called Abraham, then Abram, and said, "Leave this place." This, friends, is a watershed. This is a huge shift. Leaving the place of your fathers and mothers and their gods and worshipping the one true God. He was called to set out. Perhaps God is calling you to set out in a new way. Maybe God is calling us as a church to set out. Abraham, it says to the letter to the Hebrews, he set out not knowing where he was going. Some would say, that's ridiculous. But see, it's not ridiculous when God is leading it, when God is prompting it. So I have this idea and I share it with my small group and say, God's calling me to this thing. It just seems so ridiculous. And they start praying and they say, no, we don't think that's ridiculous at all. And then parish council starts talking about an idea, and the vision committee starts thinking about an idea, and then others are thinking about something, and we start to talk about it, and what seemed ridiculous or just beyond us is in fact a reality. The rectory of our church was rented for many years by a family. Now it's being used for ministry purposes. It was like this hope, and then it came to be. And we give thanks. How it came to be was quite remarkable. But we didn't know at the beginning, and that's what it is about faith. By faith he stayed, this is Abraham, for a time in the land that he had been promised. He was living in tents, and tents are here contrasted with a city, because tents have no foundations and buildings do. So Abraham was called to live this sort of tentative hold on things. Just as Jesus said, don't invest too heavily in this world and the things of this world. Hold them lightly. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's what God is looking for, hearts that are on pilgrimage, hearts that are set on this journey of faith. There's a prayer by Thomas Merton, a mystic, that I've been looking at more and more. Maybe it's because as I grow older, I realize that life is largely mystery and that I know less and less, really, about God and, well, everything. But let me offer the prayer. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so, but I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Abram set out not knowing where he was going. Think of times in your life where you acted in faith. And you know the outcome because now you're looking back on it. Or perhaps you're like those descendants of Abraham who acted in faith and yet did not receive the promise. And yet they continued in faith. These descendants were born through Abraham and Sarah, who were as good as dead when it came to reproduction because they were so old. And yet they considered the one who made the promise faithful. These descendants were born, we're told, and then all died in faith, still committed to this journey of faith without having received the promises. Now that's a mature faith, wouldn't you say? They continued in the faith even though they had not received the promises. There was a substance to their faith. And this next sentence excites me. But from a distance they saw and greeted them, these promises. They had a vision. They had an imagination. They had faith that even enabled them to see what was not yet. And the conviction to hang in there. What is God calling us to at St. Cuthbert? What is this next season of life? What does it hold for us? Does anyone see those from a distance? Those areas of ministry, perhaps, or mission? Things that we've perhaps not done before here. Well, let's pray about that. Let's share that vision. We have a vision committee and we're learning about what that means to discern God's vision for us. These people knew that their life on earth was temporary and that in fact they were seeking a homeland that went beyond this life. They're always reaching and straining for that which lies ahead. a better country that is a heavenly one. So ultimately, we're not fitted for this place. We're fitted for this life with God. And yet in the meantime, we work creatively with what we've been given. We're called to be good stewards. And yet the gospel very clearly speaks, and Jesus very clearly speaks, that we're not to invest too heavily, because this life is that life intense, without foundations. And there's another life, this city of God, of which God is the builder and architect. And I would ask that your children be shaped to look for that heavenly city, be shaped in their discipleship to act in faith, to take on responsibilities that come with following Jesus. There was a time when faith became a substance for me in a way that it hadn't been before. I was 22, 23, got my first job out of university in my field of study, and I worked for 3 months, and then the job ended. The funding ran out, and I was out of work. I remember very clearly I had $1,000 in the bank. And then I had an opportunity to go to Israel to study. It was sort of a full scholarship thing, totally out of the blue. The only thing was, around Christmas, this was August, around Christmas, the previous Christmas, I'd made a commitment to a couple who were setting out as missionaries in campus ministry. I made a financial commitment to them every month. I can't remember what it was. Let's say $50 a month. I'd never done that before. And I didn't have any work, and I was going to school, and I just didn't know how I was going to fulfill this commitment. And yet, as I was considering this, God said, stay committed. Don't change it. Even the couple said, hey, if we realize things have changed for you, don't worry about it. But there was faith. This came from outside of me. There was faith to say, no, I'm going to maintain this commitment. I don't want to sound like this righteous guy, because it was this really important time, though, that faith became a substance. That's what I'm trying to say. And I was able to make this commitment and fulfill it, thankfully. God provided for me so that I could just stay in there. That's what God's looking for, I think. I'd like to be that guy again and allow faith to take substance in my life and make commitments or fulfill commitments that, on the face of it, it doesn't look possible. We've just bought a house, or we're just almost in the process of buying a house, this church is. And it's not to buy a house. We don't need a house. But it's the possibility of redeveloping this property. And I say possibility because I don't know. It's a way that we don't know yet. But it may just be that this would in some way serve the ministry and mission of this place. And so let's continue to pray and keep alert to the purposes of God and keep moving forward, praying that for this faith that is the assurance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not yet seen, and that we'd all learn together what this means, because I think that's the adventure of faith. That's where the faith is exciting. And that's where we can say, why am I smoking this stupid pipe, and just throw it out the window. Get rid of those things that are not even worthy of this adventure of faith that God has called us on. Let's just sit for a moment, shall we, and just consider how God might be speaking to each one of us in this.